In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us. Before beginning the homily, just a reminder now, because the homily too is going to be focused on this. As I mentioned in the bulletin on Thursday and in the final updates on Saturday, our outreach is beginning a three-week focus on the meaning of stewardship, on the spirituality of stewardship, in preparation for a renewal of each person, a renewal, making a recommitting themselves to the life of stewardship. There was an essay, there's a three-part essay I've written to our outreach. The first part of the essay was sent out on Thursday night. I tried to keep it to a page front and back. It's on, and next week will come the second essay, and the third week will come out the third part of the essay. They build on one another, and the theme is baptism and baptism's relationship to the parish life, and in the parish life in relationship to stewardship. So please, all members, do take some time to prayerfully read the essay, and perhaps two or three times to really take it in. It's a meditation. So maybe the first one's really on a baptismal life and what it means to become a baptized person, what it means to become a member of the church. We become actually a participant in the very communion of life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all that that means. So please take the time to read it. In fact, spouses, read it together and discuss it. If your children are old enough, read it with your children. Discuss it. Talk about it. It's the foundation upon which the whole entire Christian faith really is resting upon. And then also for the next three Sundays, beginning today and the next two Sundays, we'll also focus on the meaning of spirituality and life of stewardship. So while today's gospel passage in a way has to do with stewardship, but in a way it doesn't, I'm not going to focus on the gospel passage of Dives, the rich man, and Lazarus. But rather I'd like to call our minds to a passage in the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus the Christ asks the question, who is the good and faithful steward? Who is the good and faithful steward? When you hear the word steward or stewardship, what first comes to your mind? What was the first word that popped into your head? To many people, in my conversations with them, stewardship is reduced to money. And it's reduced to how much one is to give, called the tithe. And that is exactly, my friends, what stewardship is not. It is not about money. Stewardship is a way of life. Created in the image of God and recreated in his image by baptism, you and I began a life of stewardship. We began a life of stewardship. The English word steward comes from a Greek word, oikonimos. In religious life, sometimes the one who's the bursar or the one in charge of the money is called the economos, coming from that Greek word, oikonimos. And it means literally house manager. Oikonimos, or steward, literally means house manager. And then there's the word oikonomia, or stewardship. And that literally means household management. What does this tell us then? A steward is the owner of nothing. He's the overseer. He's the guardian. He's the caretaker. He's the manager of the master's possessions. He's the manager of the household, but the household is not his. He's been bestowed with a responsibility to care for what is not his own. He's a servant. And speaking of God's household, then the church, speaking about the church, the Apostle Peter teaches this, quote, "Be a good steward of God's grace," end of quote. And the Apostle Peter is writing that to all the faithful. He's telling everybody, be good stewards of what God has given to you regarding God's household, the church. And later on, one of Peter's successors in Antioch, the holy hierarch, Bishop Ignatius of Antioch, in the second century, he instructs the faithful, quote, "You are stewards in God's house, members of his household, the church, and his servants," end of quote. Stewardship cannot be reduced, therefore, to annual pledges to your parish or to the church, and to financial campaigns in order to build new buildings. That, my friends, is not stewardship. Stewardship is an incarnation view. An incarnation view, God becoming man, is an incarnation view of selfless giving of one's time, talent, and treasure. Stewardship is a selfless way of life rooted in service. Rooted in service. Some of the faithful have embraced stewardship, seeing it as a system and seeing it as an obligation that only seeks the minimum. The church, living according to the law of selfless love, places no obligations upon the faithful. That's why in Eastern Christianity we do not have holy days of obligation. No. It's all about selfless love. And in Eastern Christianity, there is no system of measuring one's selfless giving. The people of the New Testament do not speak in terms of percentages. That was the Old Testament. That was the law. But the law is a burden, as St. Paul tells us. And we've been released from all burdens. Guided by the apostolic teachings in the New Testament, obligation does not impel one to give. It is selfless love that impels one to give. The Apostle Paul teaches, quote, "Let each one give as he intends in his heart." Not grudgingly or out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. End of quote. Holy Gregory the theologian, one of our great, great theologians, he writes, quote, "You will never overcome God's generosity, even if you give away all that you have. And however much you bring to him, always more remains. Nor will you give anything that is your own because all things flow from God. End of quote. Whether it's one's time, talent, your body, your treasures, all is a gift bestowed to you or to me. You and I are stewards, literally, of everything. Nothing is mine. You are servants in the household of God. When I was in the monastery, I'll never forget a story that one of the monks shared with us who were novices at the time. And he recounted how an older monk, when he was a young monk, is a Trappist. And this older monk needed an operation on his body. And they were going to take away one of his organs. And in their chapter meeting, a time when all the monks come together to have a discussion, to talk about the household management, this old monk stood before all his brothers and he said, "Brothers, I must ask you permission to have one of my organs removed for my health." Here was a monk who truly understood stewardship. His body did not belong to himself. It belonged to the house of God and to the community. And therefore he asked for permission of his brothers for something to his body. Jesus the Christ teaches, freely you have received, freely give. Eastern Catholic Christianity, therefore, does not talk about minimums. Our tradition talks about maximums. It's never about obligations. It's always about self-forgetting service. Because out of selfless love, God the Father offered his only begotten Son that we may have life and have just not a little bit, but have a life abundantly. In God there are no minimums, only maximums. In God, there are no obligations, only selfless love. And the psalmist asks, "What shall I give to the Lord in return for all the benefits he's bestowed upon me?" And the answer is expressed every time the divine liturgy is celebrated. Quote, "We offer ourselves, we offer one another, and we offer the whole life to Christ." Some years ago, on a cold January day, a young parish council president was just getting accustomed to his new duties. And all of a sudden, someone came in and placed on the desk a stack of checks. He was to sign them. And he went about quickly signing each check until he came to one, and it caused him to stop when he looked at to whom it was signed. It was his parish priest. It was the parish priest's salary check. And this council president began to think to himself, "This is the priest who baptized me. This is the priest to whom I served as an altar boy. This is the priest to whom I'd gone to confession all my life. This is the priest to whom I've loved as a spiritual father. And for a moment, he thought to himself, how ridiculously small of an amount of money in this check, in consideration to the effect that this priest has had on all the parishioners of this parish. Might each one of us have a similar sense of awe, of gratitude, of humility, and of joy in our own stewardship toward the Lord, toward His church, and toward His outreach. In his book, Eucharist, Father Alexander Schmemann explains and describes how in the early church, the baptized faithful would bring to the church and to the liturgy everything they could spare for the needs of their priests, for the needs of the liturgy, and for the works of charity toward the orphans, the widows, and all the others who were destitute. Stewardship is not about calculations. It's not about portions. It's not about percentages. Stewardship can't be reduced to a number of hours or a certain amount of dollars offered. Stewardship is a way of life. It's an incarnational way of life. It's an incarnational, sacramental way of seeing and acting with regards to everything you've been given as a gift. Your body, your talents, your time, and your treasure. Christ is among us.